Hello, folks. It's Sean Mice here, and in today's faith-based training, I'm going to dig into the topic I titled it, How to Genuinely Change Lives in Your Internet Business. How to Genuinely Change Lives in Your Internet Business. I believe that one of the things that's tough as we're running our internet businesses, or for many of you, you're building your internet business, and one of the things that's tough is we know that we're building this business to create a livelihood. We know that we're building this business to help other people, but we know that we have bills to pay. We know that we have to make payroll. We know that we have to pay ourselves. And it's very, very easy to get to the place where it really becomes all about making money. One of the dangers of running a business where it ends up, even though you started it out genuinely wanting to fix things, teach things, et cetera, when you get to the place where it really becomes all about the money, even though your heart isn't there, but in the daily life, you're thinking, what do I have to do today to make $100? What do I have to do today to make $1,000? You've got a bigger business. What do we have to do today to make sure that every day we're doing $10,000, whatever that number is? It's easy to get focused on the money. And when that happens, no matter how good our product is, no matter how good our training is, sometimes we slip and we make decisions that are monetary based rather than life changing. And we don't mean for it to hurt anybody, and hopefully it doesn't hurt anybody, but our focus changes. Today, I'm going to share with you a framework that I believe that if you use this framework, it will allow you to focus on changing lives in your internet business and still make money, if not the same money, much more money than you were able to make before when you were focusing on the money. That's what we're really going to dig into. Now, first thing I'm going to do, after we open in a word of prayer in just a moment, the first thing I'm going to do is go through some passages in the Word of God that kind of tell us a little bit about how we can change other people's lives, or probably more specifically, where we have a responsibility to change other people's lives. Then I'm going to give a business model, and I debated giving this business model. I debated it just a little bit. But, boy, I think on this faith-based call, that I believe that this business model dovetails perfectly with this, and it's a strong, strong business model. In fact, it looks very, very much like the business model that I've used for 7 or 8 years now. And so I want to give it to you. And so we're going to do that. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. God, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to kind of break up our work week, to meet sometime during the week, and to say, Lord, what is it that you want us to know more about work in your word? God, we just thank you for giving us this opportunity. I thank you for commissioning me with doing this. And, Father, I would ask you two things today. Number one, that you would anoint my lips to share what you want me to share today. But, you know who's on this call. You know who will be listening to it in the future in a non-live fashion. You know who's here. And, God, I would ask that you would structure my words so that, whatever it is, minute 6, minute 13, minute 29, whatever the case is, that each person on this call would receive a word from you, something that will go deep into their lives and make big changes in their lives and change the way that they think about their work, about changing lives. And then the second is very much like it, God, that you would anoint each person's ears and their mind, that as they take notes, that something will jump out at them. Something from you will jump out, and they'll say, wow, this is going to change the way I run my business. This is going to change the way I run my day-to-day business. It's going to line it up with the Word of God, and hopefully it'll be in a place where they'll be able to be blessed so that they're able to bless others. And so, God, I would just ask that folks, as they're listening, they'll be keyed in to whatever it is that you are going to share with them today. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. And let's dig into this. Again, how to genuinely change lives in your internet business. I want to go backwards just a little bit. I want to do some background. Because, you see, I believe that our business, if we're running an internet business, and it's a lifestyle business, and it's a business that allows us to have more freedom, and it's not just selling widgets. We're not just a dealer for somebody else, but we're selling some training that we want other folks to consume. I believe that if that's the kind of business that we're running, if that's the kind of business that we're running, then it should fit in with our persona, our character, and our life. You know, if you're a, let's say you're a strong-minded individual in real life as opposed to work, you're a strong-minded individual. My goodness, I believe that you should probably act like a strong-minded individual in the rest of your in the business that you operate. You don't need to become a timid person in your business if the way God has wired you is to be a strong-minded person. The flip side, if you're a timid person in life, I don't believe that you have to kind of buck up and say, I have to be somebody I'm not in order to run my internet business because everybody out there is strong-minded, and so I have to, you know, buck up and be strong-minded. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that you can be you. You can be you the way that God has made you. You can be you, and that you can portray you to the people that you're teaching. And the truth of the matter is you might even do better than that strong-minded person because people who are not strong-minded, who are offended by that strong-minded attitude, may rather learn the very same thing with you because you have a different attitude. And so I think that that's a critical thing for us to understand, is that the work that we do in our internet business should dovetail with the rest of our lives. And again, we're not talking about if you're a dealer for something, although if you're selling something, I mean, my goodness, you should choose something to sell that resonates with who you are as a person. And I think that that's one of the reasons that some folks have such a hard time selling sometimes, is because they're selling something that just they don't believe in or they don't agree with. They're just doing it for the money. So the same thing happens with the internet business. If you're trying to do this just for the money, you don't believe in it, you won't make the sales. And again, you know, this training today, this message today, isn't all about the sales. It's really about changing people's lives. But I think that the entrenched notion of building an internet business is that it's got to be there to make money. So we want you to make money. We don't want that to be the focus. Let's dig into some things. So if that's the case, that our internet business should in some way be like an extension of ourselves. So we're teaching other folks something that we know how to do that's going to be able to change their lives. It's going to be an extension of ourselves. Then we sort of need to know who we are first. What is our purpose? So let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of my favorite passages for this topic because, I mean, boy, it just sums it all up. So Jeremiah 29:11, and this is God speaking. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Let me say that again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. So our starting point here is that God has a plan for you. And when we're going through our life, it's not all about our plan for ourselves. It's not all about how we are going to plan what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but instead, we're going to go to the Lord and allow the Lord to show us the path that He wants us on. We want to allow the Lord to show us the path because He's already stated that He has a purpose for us. He has something for us. And so if that's the case, and you know, we believe that God is a wise God, He's got something for us. If He has something for us, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so when we, as Proverbs 3:6 says, in all our ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct our paths. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When we submit our purpose to Him, when we submit our purpose to Him and say, Lord, make my purpose whatever your purpose is, then He's able to express the greatest purpose that you could ever have through you. I believe that, and I've been there, and folks, sometimes I get scared when I'm talking with God and like, look, do your own thing. You know, if I've got a problem, I say, Lord, just do it your own way. I mean, there is something inside of me that says, boy, I just said that. Things are going to get bad in a hurry. Now, I don't know why we do this as humans, but there's this fear that if we just let God do it His way, that His way doesn't match up with, obviously, with our way, but with the desires that we have. Here's the thing. I believe that God is a good God, He's a benevolent God, and He's a loving God, and I believe that He puts in us the desires to do what it is that He wants us to do. I believe that when we were created, when He formed us inside our mother, I believe that He gave us skills that would dovetail perfectly for with His purposes and His plans. Meaning that if God gave you a mathematically minded brain, and He gave you your brother or your sister a grammatically oriented brain, I don't believe that He's going to say, okay, you are an ultimate mathematician and great thinker, so I'm going to make you into an English professor. And I don't believe that He says to your brother or sister, I've given you the ability to be a great English teacher, but I want to challenge you for the rest of your life, and so I'm going to make you a plumber. I just personally, it's my personal belief. I'm not going to go into the Word of God on this. This is there'd be plenty of Bible today. This is just me, my personal belief. I don't believe that that's the way God works. I believe that if deep down inside you really enjoy numbers, if deep down inside you enjoy helping people, if deep down inside you enjoy writing, if deep down inside you enjoy speaking, I personally believe that God has put those talents inside of you so that you can use those talents in the purpose that He's created for you. The second thing is that I believe a lot of times we get stuck on our purpose because we don't see ourselves fulfilling our purpose right now because we haven't gone through the school of hard knocks to prepare ourselves for our purpose. So if we think about Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph had a purpose. His purpose was to get the Israelite people out of their land and into Egypt so that they could grow into a big nation, because they wouldn't be able to do that in the countryside where they lived. They wouldn't be able to do that. So the purpose, long run, for Joseph, was to do that, to be able to be the person that relieved the famine in Egypt and made it possible for the Israelite nation or the Israelite clan at that time, the tribe, to be able to be turned into a great nation. That was his purpose. But if he didn't get thrown in the pit and he wasn't picked up by the gypsies and he wasn't sold into slavery and he didn't go to jail and if he didn't do all of those things, he never would have been prepared to be a leader. Because, you see, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was learning to be a leader. And when he was in jail, he was even learning to be a leader. But if he'd have never learned to be a leader, if he'd have never been exposed and been able to rub shoulders with really powerful people, he never would have been able to stand up to the task of being second in the kingdom of Egypt. He wouldn't have been able to do it. Well, it's the same thing for you. Let's say that you're a mother. You have two children and a husband. You have a small job. Your husband has a small job. And you teach a little community group somewhere. But God's purpose for you is to run a great nonprofit. Let's say it's going to be, you know, it's going to feed all the homeless people in your town. I submit to you that if your experience is a small job and a small family, you're not ready today to take on your purpose. You're going to have to go through a training ground to get to your purpose. Now, there's a few ways you can do that training ground. One is you can say, boy, I know that that's what God's purpose is for me. I'm going to go to school and learn everything I need to learn. Or you may not even know what God's purpose is, but you go to God's school and you say, God, show me whatever I need to do. And He leads you to a job. Maybe you don't even like it, but you have to stay there for 3 or 4 years, and you've just got to push through because you need to learn a task that you're going to use later in your purpose. And then maybe he shifts you to another job. You like this one better, but it's not the dream job, but you're learning something that you're going to be able to use. And maybe a crisis befalls you in your life. You're learning something else that you're going to be able to use. You see, people in high position, people that have great responsibility, people who have big internet businesses have to have figuratively broad shoulders. Why? Because life's not easy. Running a big business is not easy. Running a big nonprofit is not easy. Fulfilling a great call is not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. You've got to have self-discipline. You've got to have the ability to control yourself. You've got to have self-control. You've got to have an understanding of your relationship. You've got to understand having relationships with other people. You may have to be able to hire gracefully. You may need to be able to fire gracefully. You may need to be able to correct people. There's a wide range of skills that you have to be able to do in order to be a person of high calling, to really be able to fulfill a big purpose. And if you're not the person that you need to be to fulfill that purpose, you're going to have to go through the school. This could be the school of hard knocks. This could be, you know, God's training program. This could be college. It could be a combination of all of the above. But you've got to do what it takes to get you from where you're at to where you need to go. And it's not just a matter of position. It's a matter of who you are. Because God can't put you into a position of authority. He can't put you into wherever he's got going for you until you're prepared. Because if you weren't prepared, you'd fall on your face. And you go, God, why did you put me there? Why did you let that happen to me? You've got to become prepared. So I believe that there's two types of purpose in your life. One is a purpose with a unique calling. God has, he's got something big planned for you. You may know what it is. You may not know what it is. But it's something big. And he's earmarked you for that thing. Now today, I'm not going to talk so much about that. If you know what that is, great. You know what it is. But I'm going to talk now to those of you who don't know what that is. However, for those of you that do know what it is, what I'm getting ready to share with you is it's applicable to you because I believe that you have a responsibility to do what I'm going to share next, even if you know what your purpose is. In fact, what I'm getting ready to share next may lead you to the fulfillment of your purpose. You may know what your purpose is, but it looks so very far away. There's some steps that need to happen to get you from where you're at to where your purpose is. I believe that there is a generic person, there is a generic purpose that is called on our lives, those of us who would call ourselves Christians, those of us that would call ourselves followers of Christ. If that's who you are, I believe that there is a call on your life. There's a generic call on your life, and I'll get into it in just a moment. Now, for those of you that might say, you know what, I'm not a Christian, don't want to be a Christian, I don't follow Christ, whatever the case is, I would encourage you that what I'm getting ready to share with you right now will impact the way that you run your business, whether you call yourself a Christian or not. But seriously, I would encourage you that what I'm getting ready to share with you will change the way that you run your business. And so I would encourage you, you know, hang in here. Let's get into some work. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. So Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay, now, there's two things I want to draw out of this passage. But first of all, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. That means, I believe, we are given a grace, a level of grace that's necessary to perform our gift. I believe that when we're given that grace, we're also given an ability. Or we're given the ability to get the ability. So let's say one of the things that you need to do, it's not on this list, but let's say one of the things that you need to do is be able to do a balance sheet. So you need a little accounting background. You're probably not born with the ability to do a balance sheet, but you're born with the mental ability to do it if you took a six-week class or a semester class on how to do it. So you may have to get training to do it, but God's empowered you to do it. It's just like when you're born, you're born with a tongue and the ability to talk, or the latent ability to be able to talk. But you have to learn the words, because until you learn the words, you just babble. So for 9 months or a year, you just babble, because you haven't learned to do that skill. You're able to talk. You come out of the womb talking, screaming, yelling. You're able to talk, but it doesn't make sense. For some of you, you have the ability to do something great, but you've never trained it, so it's like babbling. Let me say that again. For some of you, you have the ability to do something great, but you've never trained it, so it's just like babbling. I'm going to say that one more time because I think this is worth writing down. For some of you, you have the ability to do something great, but it hasn't been trained, so it's like babbling. You're babbling. What's it take to go from babbling to your purpose? Training. And again, that can be college, it can be classes, it can be the school of hard knocks, it can be God's school of hard knocks, it can be all of the above, it can maybe be some things outside of that. But you've got to go from where you're at to where you want to go by going from babbling to talking, whatever the thing is. The second assumption I make here is that we have different gifts. I don't believe that this says some of us have gifts and some of us don't. No, it says we have. That includes you. It includes me. We have different gifts. And we can interpret the word different gifts to mean a couple of different things. One could be that I have the gift of encouragement and you have the gift of giving. I have the gift of leading. You have the gift of mercy. I have the gift of mercy. You have the gift of encouraging. It could mean that. Or it could mean that I have several gifts and you have several gifts. Maybe some people have several gifts and some people are only graced with one gift. But if indeed it is a fact that each of us has been given grace, that according to the grace given to each of us, we each have a gift, and we should be using it. We should be using it. What that means is, I believe that if we should be using it and we don't know what gift we have, we may not be using it. And I think it's our responsibility to look at this list and say, wow, what do I do best? Am I a good servant? Am I a good leader? Do I show hospitality? Do I show mercy? Am I an encourager? You're probably one of these things. And if you're one of these things and you're not acting in it, then I believe that you're shortcutting your ability to fulfill your purpose. And so let me be bold here and say, if you're going to God and saying, God, I'll do anything you want me to do, I really want you to help me build this business so I can take care of my family better. And he's already told you, you have a gift inside of you, and you may not have known this until now, but now you know it. Now you have the responsibility to deal with it and to do it. If you have an unfulfilled gift, and you're asking God to give you something else when you haven't used what he's already given you, is it possible he'll hold back giving you something else until you've at least pretended or tried or started to use what he's already given you? Let's think God has a continuum. Just like with Joseph, God had a continuum. The first thing he did was he had Joseph dream. Then he had him put in the position where he'd get thrown in jail so that he could become the man he needed to be. And then he was able to graduate to being second ruler. Or maybe God has a continuum for you. Maybe your continuum is to show mercy first and then go to the school of hard knocks for 5 years and then enter your purpose. Or maybe you're going through the school of hard knocks right now, but let me say this. I've been through the school of hard knocks a few times. Just like you, I've experienced heartache, and heartbreak, and pain, and regret. I've been lied to and cheated on. I felt discouraged. I've done bad things and felt horribly sorry. I've done good things that haven't been rewarded, and then I felt whatever that feeling is, when you just deep down inside you have so much pride that says I did this and nobody gives me any credit. I've been there, done that. I don't want to brag here, but I've been through a lot of the schools. I haven't been through them all. I hope I never go through them all. But I've been through a number of God's schools of hard knocks. You may be going through one of those schools right now, and maybe you're thinking, how am I ever going to make it? Here's the thing. If God's putting you through the school, he's got graduation in mind for you. Because, see, God doesn't play around like we do sometimes and guess at things and say, boy, you know, I wonder if he'll do good in graduate school. God knows if he puts you in graduate school how you're going to do before he puts you in there. So maybe what you're supposed to be doing is giving encouragement to other folks. And until you are giving encouragement to other folks, you may never reach your purpose. You may even die without achieving your purpose, because you haven't done the things God's asked of you in the process. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. I'm not going to read all of this. I mean, it's quite a mouthful. Most of you know this story. Let's just start it, and then I'm going to skip through it. So just 31 through 46, I'm not going to read this verbatim. I'm going to skip through it. You can read it verbatim for later, or you can read it with me verbatim, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He'll separate his people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you're blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Let's just stop a moment. That's verse 40. Let's just stop a moment. I'm reading this word for word. I wasn't planning to. But it's pretty concise, and so here we are. So first of all, part of what we're supposed to understand here is that what we do for other people, the encouragement, the mercy, the leading, whatever we do for other people, we're doing to the king. We're doing it to the king for the king. Sometimes that concept can propel us through a job we don't like. So we have a job right now where we're doing something we don't like. If we can think of the fact that we're doing it for the king and not for the ungrateful person on the other side of the desk, it can change our mentality completely. But let's go back. Verse 41 says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the ever eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger, needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, righteous to eternal life. Now, I mean, there's so much in this passage that we're not even going to cover, okay? And again, I could have skipped, if I had just blacked it out on the screen, I could have skipped a few lines. But the truth, and it wouldn't take anything away from the point that we're trying to make today. Here's the thing, if there are people around you that are hungry, and you're not feeding them, if there are people around you who are thirsty and you're not giving them anything to drink, if there's someone who needs your help that you know of personally that can use help from you and you don't invite them in, you're doing that to the king. If you have a skill and you're able to change someone's life and you're keeping it to yourself, you're keeping it from the king. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you didn't look after me. If there are people around you that need clothing and you've got spare clothing, clothing you only wear once every 2 years, you're holding that clothing from the king. I really believe that. And, I don't believe that when we look at this, this is some exhaustive list of the four things that we're supposed to do. I believe that this is a representative list. I believe that this is the kind of list that says, look, if you know for a fact that your best friend is constantly arguing with his or her husband or wife, and you have mastered the art of not arguing with your husband and wife quite as much as they, and you don't make yourself available to help them, I believe you're doing that to the king. I believe that you're withholding, you're withholding that skill from the king. I believe that. I believe that for me too. I believe that for me too. That when I encounter someone who needs help and I'm not helping him, I'm not helping the King of Kings. I believe that. Okay, now, how does this relate to our internet business? If you've got an internet business and you have something where you're genuinely helping someone else, and people are searching for information and they want to learn from you and you claim that they can learn from you, but they come to your website and there's only two articles there and they send you an email and you don't help them and you're not helping them, you're not helping the king. I believe that. Okay, now you say, well, what if I have a really big business and 200 people a day ask for my personal help? I can't possibly help all them. You're absolutely right. You cannot personally one-on-one help them. But what you could do is figure out what their common needs are. Because let's face it, if you have a karate website, everybody coming through your squeeze page should need karate lessons, not swimming lessons. I mean, think about it. You should be able, in your business, to create generic training that will have every single person that comes to your website without you having to do anything one-on-one. You should be able to create like a training manual that's 20 pages long that teaches them everything you know. And if you know 80 pages worth of information, you can create that too. That doesn't have to be a training manual. It could be spaced out over 80 days in an email campaign. It could be a training. It could be what you hear me doing here. You know, I feel like I have a responsibility to do these calls because of what God has placed inside of me. I have something that God has placed inside of me that maybe can help. I don't want to say it'll help you. I don't know where you're at. But a number of the people listening to me today need what I have right now. And I'm making myself available to make this happen. Okay, now, there may be thousands of people who need this. And I may send an invite out to thousands of people, but only a handful of people respond. I've made the offer available. It's like if I make the offer to clothe folks, and only one out of ten takes me up on it. I can't force it on them. I don't believe God would have us do that either. Let me give you one more passage, and then I want to talk about how this really relates, how you, the business model that you can use that will fulfill this requirement and then will also make you money, help you make a living. Because I think that making a living is part of what God would have us do. I think that making a living is part of what God would have us do in our business. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a business. I want to turn now to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. I want to tie some things together here. Let's just read the whole passage. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I want to point out a few things here. Okay? First of all, it says that God's able to bless us abundantly so that we will abound in every good work. If we don't abound in every good work, and he's giving us a blessing to abound in every good work, would it not be his prerogative to remove the blessing from us? I don't want to go any deeper on this because I really want to get into the business model here. If you've never heard me share this before, or this is never left out of the Bible for you, take some time and meditate on that concept. God's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. It doesn't say God's able to bless you abundantly so that you don't have anything you need and you'll just give it all away. Well, it says God's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having everything that you need, you'll abound in every good work. The connotation here is that you'll have a roof over your head, you'll have food in your belly, you will have clothes on your back, and you'll be able to abound in every good work. You'll be able to help those people around you. It also says, verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Again, if we're not generous, then do we not put God in a position where it is his prerogative, or maybe it's not us putting God there, but God is in a position where it is his prerogative to stop enriching us. I'm not saying that he will. I don't want to go there. I just want to say I think this is something for us to think about. Because I want to tie the money that comes in, I want to tie that to the work that we do. Because we've talked about this idea that the work that we do is to change other people's lives. Whatever you do and you teach online should be to change other people's lives. We've talked about the fact that we have a responsibility to abound in those good works. We talked about the fact that if we have been given the ability to help other people and we don't make ourselves available, I believe we're not making ourselves available to the King of Kings. Well, where's the money come in? I think this is right where the money comes in. And I believe that if we're helping more people, God will be in a position to bless us more abundantly so that we can help more people. So that we will, you know, if we're helping 100 people online, we're probably not going to be blessed as much as if we're helping 1,000. Especially if all the blessing is coming through that internet business. You see, there's a concept out there that this really relates to. And it's the idea that as we help others, we will be blessed. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." It doesn't say, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God throw out of the sky, shall God rain down on you? Shall God open the heavens up and send you a basket?" It doesn't say that. It says, shall other men give to you? I paraphrase. Shall other men give to you? And the more that we give, the more I believe that other people give to us. You see, and the exchange is that we give our knowledge and they give their money. In our internet business, we give our knowledge, they give their money. Stop focusing on the money and instead focus on helping as many people as possible, and I believe the money will increase. Okay, now, that's the spiritual training. We're going to tie this together. I don't normally do this on this call, but I believe this fits. And maybe there's just one person that God's engineering this for. Maybe you need to hear the model. Maybe you need to hear the model that I use, that so many other people use in this business. Maybe you are sick and tired of reading sales letters that say if you'll follow this three-step system, you'll be a millionaire in 2.9 days. Or maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. You know, you'll be full-time in 3 months. It took me a lot longer than 3 months to get to full-time. It takes most people a lot longer than that to get to full-time. Maybe you've been buying system after system after system after system and nothing's working. I'm going to share with you something that I personally believe this works every time. Now, I can't prove it to you. Most people don't do it. And so for those people, of course it doesn't work. And if you don't do it, it won't work for you either. I'm going to give you the model. It's a simple model. It's an easy model. In fact, it's so simple that you may be tempted to say, this isn't for me because I want to build a real business, and a real business should be more complicated. I got to tell you this, heart to heart, my business is pretty simple. Now, it has some complicated parts. I got some pretty fancy software I pay for that I don't understand the code behind it, but it does some pretty fancy things. It automates a lot of things for me. Those parts are complicated. But I don't do the complicated parts for the most part. Almost everything I do is pretty simple in my business. It really is. Very, very simple. Let's get into the model. I'm just going to give it to you. I believe the model that you can start with today, and if you've never done this before, if you look at this and you say, that's not enough work or that's too much work, if you've never done it, you don't know. This will take about an hour or two a day. And here's the thing. If you can't put an hour or two into your online business, you probably don't have much of a business. Maybe that's why you don't have much of a business. Because you're not putting the time into it. Or you may be putting 4 hours a day into your business, but you don't even know it, but you're spending 3 hours of those 4 hours just searching for answers every day, searching for answers. You're not finding them. I believe I'm getting ready to give you some answers here. Now, due to the time and, you know, the place, et cetera, I'm not gonna give you all the details on how to do these things. You probably already know how to do them all. But if there's a part that you don't know how to do, you go to a search engine and you learn. Or you ask somebody else that knows. Or you go to a forum and you find out how to do it. Here's the model. You're going to write a daily blog post on your website. Daily, every day. Even if nobody's reading your blog post, you're just going to write a daily article every day. A daily article could take 5 to 10 minutes. It could take longer. It could take 5 to 10 minutes. This doesn't have to be a book a day. This can be a tip. It can be a three-line tip every day on your website. In 1 year of just working Monday through Friday, you'll have about 250 blog posts on your website. I don't know how many you have now, but would your business look different if you had 250 blog posts? You know, a lot of folks out there, when they're building their businesses, they're so concerned about getting traffic to their website. Their website has 3 posts on it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I go to a website that has 3 posts on it, those posts better be life-changing, because I don't have much respect for someone who only has 3 posts. I'm not saying I disrespect them, but so far they've done nothing to build my respect. Nothing. And in fact, if somebody only has 3 posts on their website, I personally wonder how much they really know. Now, that's my opinion. It's jaded. It's not out of the Word of God. Okay? That may not be your opinion, but it may be the opinion of some of the people that are coming to your website. But let's face it, if you had 250 meaningful blog posts on your website, you don't have to do it overnight, just one a day, one every working day for 1 year. That would change your business. In addition to a daily post, you write one daily article that you put on somebody else's website. And that may be somewhere you guest blog. It may be life hack or e-zine articles. It may be a social media place. It may be a forum in your niche. But a daily article on the same topic, preferably, not necessarily preferably, but I'm giving you some guidance here. It could be on the same topic as your daily post. What makes it really simple about doing this is that once you've written your daily post, now you can just kind of reword it, rewrite it very quickly, and that becomes your daily article that goes on somebody else's website and links back to your website. And then there's one more that, if you've never done it before, is going to be a little scary. And that is, I want to tell you it's really easy. Because your script for this is going to be your daily article or your daily post or both. So sometimes when I suggest, when I'm getting ready to suggest, folks say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you do. You're just going to use the words in your article. And that's a daily video. And to do a daily video, all you need is some kind of video recording software. You probably have it on your smartphone. You can do a selfie video. I don't even know if that's what it's called, but I don't need to know what it's called to do it. Neither do you. But a selfie video where you just hold the video camera out in front of you. You'll hold a printed piece of paper out in front of you with the article on it that you're going to read. and you begin to record. Hi, my name is Sean Mize, and in today's video, I'm going to teach you about XYZ, and then you read your article. And then at the end of the video, you say, if you'd like to learn more from me, go to my website, XYZ. If you do this every single day for a year, every working day for a year, you'll have 250 posts on your website. You'll have 250 articles all over the web, all over the world, and you'll have 250 videos on, if you put them on YouTube, you'll have them on YouTube. You'll have 250 videos on YouTube. You can't tell me you won't be getting visitors to your website. You'll be getting new subscribers to your YouTube channel. Probably getting multiple subscribers to your YouTube channel. Now, you say, how does this fit in? Well, remember we talked about this idea earlier that there may be 200 people that need your help every single day, but you can't give it to them one-on-one. It's not humanly possible. I mean, you could maybe do that once a year for a day. You give everybody 5 minutes worth of help for 24 hours, you know, whatever it would take to get to 200 people for 5 minutes a day. What would that be? Like 18 hours, I think, 18, 19 hours. You could theoretically do that, but you can't do it every day. You burn out. But you could take all those 200 questions that come in, and if you combine them all, if you got 200 questions a day coming in, you've got a decent-sized business, hire an assistant to go through them all and combine all the ones that are the same question, because a lot of times people ask the same question, combine them all. And then you have a few questions to answer, and you just answer those in your daily articles and videos and posts, and you're changing people's lives. And when people come to you and they ask you a question, your internet system that's on your website or that's in your email campaign just sends them to your website that has all the answers. And you're able to change those people's lives. That's the model right there. Now, we're going to layer onto this model just a little bit because I told you I would give you the full model today. I've given you the model as it applies to fulfilling the responsibility we've talked about today about helping others. Let's take this to a new level. What if we wanted to send a daily email out as well? It takes me about 5 to 10 minutes every day to write my daily email. What if you were to say, I'm going to do a daily email every day instead, in addition, 5 to 10 minutes? And the nice thing is, when you write your daily email, you could just send them to your video or send them to your article or send them to your post. And if you send them to an article on somebody else's website and you get, let's say, 200 people go to somebody else's website from your website to click on it, the folks that you wrote the article for are going to think, wow, if this person writes articles for my website, I'm going to get a lot of traffic from them. They'll let you keep writing articles. So that's almost a no-brainer. But for whatever reason, you send a daily email out. What do you need to send a daily email out? You need everybody's name and email address. The easiest way to get everybody's name and email address is to give some free training away when they come to your website in exchange for their name and email. Now, we use what's called a squeeze page for that. So a squeeze page is just a web page that has an ability for people to enter their name and email address into an opt-in form from an autoresponder company that will automatically send them the gift that they've been promised to download. So this could be a 10-page manual that answers a lot of the common questions that you get. It could be a 10-page manual teaching that thing that you're so good at that you've been holding inside of yourself and you have a moral responsibility to help other people with it. You just write it all down on that free giveaway, and then to some degree, your moral responsibility is assuaged when that person gets the free download. Now, if they don't read it, that's their problem. If they don't read it, they're going to get an email from you every day that's going to send them to posts and articles and videos. They're going to teach them the same thing. So you've got two opportunities to be able to help them. So that squeeze page can be really, really simple. I'm not going to, teach you how to do it. There's software out there that will do it for you. To be able to create one, you're just going to basically have a heading. How to do whatever it is that you teach, how to do X, Y, Z. And then you could have 5 bullet points. When you download my 10-page guide, you will learn, and just list 5 things they'll learn. And then underneath that, put the opt-in code from your autoresponder company. It's just that easy. And when people now come to your website, especially if when you write your daily articles for other people's websites and you do your daily video, you send them to a squeeze page URL instead of your website so that they give you their name and email address first before they go to your website, then you can email them every day. Now, how many of you would like me to take this to the next level? This is your business model, folks. You may be thinking, well, how do I make any money? We're going to go to the next place now. What we're going to do now is after you've got a list of a few hundred people, or maybe even before that, you're going to send a survey out that says, what are your biggest challenges in whatever it is that you're teaching? What are you struggling with? What are you struggling with? What would it mean for you if you didn't struggle with that anymore? Why have you been having a hard time fixing this? And some people, many people will give you one, two-word answers that frankly aren't very helpful. But a handful of people will give you like some really in-depth information about what they're struggling with. And if you'll just go create a training program, whether it's to write a 50-page book or it's to record a 50-minute audio, kind of like what I'm doing right now, you're hearing me record an audio right now. Those of you that are listening to me live, you're hearing me record it live. But I could have done this without an audience. It wouldn't be as good because I like having an audience. But it would still be the training. I can still work from the outline. And you create a training program that you can sell for a nominal price. And when people buy that at a nominal price, that's where your money comes from. And the more people whose lives you change, the more people will buy your training. And then when you created one training, you send another email out that says, what else would you like to learn? You can do this every week or every month, creating a new training every week or every month, such that in a year you have anywhere from 12 to 50 different trainings. Have you ever been to somebody's website and you could buy like 50 different training tracks on their website? It looks like a shopping cart. You're able to just click and say, I want to buy this, this, and this. You could have a website like that a year from now by creating one training a week or one training a month. And you'd be changing lives at the same time, and every time you created a new training, new people could buy from you. You see where the money's coming from? And do you see how the more you give, the more people come onto your list, the more people trust you, the more people will buy your training? And so then some of you might be asking, okay, what if somebody comes along that's poor and can't afford my training? They're poor and they can't afford my training. Here's what I do. Every so often somebody sends me an email and says, I'm poor and I can't afford your training. What can I do? Usually, they will offer their services of some kind in exchange for the training. And sometimes I'll take folks up on it. But I tell you what we do most of the time, and that is if somebody asks for a training and they tell me they're too poor to afford it. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that has the money but just doesn't want to invest the money. That's a different problem. Okay? That means they're not convinced that you can really help them. It means that whatever they're going to spend the money on instead of spending it with you is more important. Okay? So the fancy dinner they're going to eat tonight is more important than learning. I don't want to give somebody like that my training because they're not going to use it. Instead, they're going to go to that fancy dinner. If somebody's genuinely poor and asks us, can you send me a certain training? We send them that training. Now, do we send them all our training? No. Do we send them huge packages of training that's going to overwhelm them? No. We send them a training. And then perhaps when they finish with the training, if they implement the training, they'll have some money in their pocket, and next time they'll be able to buy. You could do the very same thing. If somebody comes to you and says, look, I cannot afford your training, what do I need to do? You just give it to them. And you say, boy, isn't that kind of fair to all the people that pay for the training? Well, you know, I mean, think about the fact that you may have somebody poor over to your house for dinner. Isn't that kind of unfair to the rich person that lives next to you that had to cook their own dinner? Yeah, maybe. But it's a poor person. And we have a responsibility to reach out to those people that are poor. When they reach out to us and tell us that they're poor, we can step out of the box and we can say, here's how I want to help you. Folks, that's your model right there. And you can grow it and grow it and grow it as big as the more you give, the more training that you create, you can add memberships, you can add coaching programs, you can grow this business. And I believe if you grow this business, you grow it according to the principles that we've talked about today, that the Lord will continue to bless you. I don't want to make some blanket statement about the Lord's blessing. You can read the Word, tell it a lot about the Lord's blessing. It talks about the fact that we need to have our heart lined up with Him. But, I mean, my goodness, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says God's able to bless us abundantly so that we can abound in every good work. If you're abounding in every good work, I believe you're going to be blessed. And I believe that your business is going to be able to be blessed. Folks, let's go ahead and wrap up things today. Before we wrap up things today, I would like to take just a moment and kind of go back to the Lord. Father, we come before you again. I thank you for answering my prayers at the beginning of the call. I asked you to kind of anoint my lips that I would share the message the way that you've designed it, and I believe that I have, and I thank you for giving me the words. I thank you that I didn't have any brain lapses, that I was able to share what's on my notes here. I thank you also for everybody that's taken notes and everybody that's thought, this is going to change me, this is going to help me. Now what I ask, God, is that each person who says, I'm going to make a change, that they'll actually follow through with it, that the cares of this world won't eat them up in the next hour, that their life won't be so choked out by weeds and rocks and stony ground that they don't dedicate an hour to figuring out how can I begin to implement these things. But God, that they will make a priority to implement the things that I've talked about today. God, I ask that you'll change folks' lives as they turn to you, as they ask for your advice on their purpose, as they ask you what they should be doing and how they should be giving, as they ask you to guide their business. God, you know I've given a generic model, and this model can be tweaked for every person. And God, I would ask that as they come to you and ask you how they can tweak this model so that it fits their life and their time and your desire for their lives and their business, that you'll do it, that you'll reward them in that way. We pray thankfully, believing you'll do these things. Thankful for your power and your presence and your blessing in our lives. In Christ's name we pray thankfully. Amen.